As a person who, well, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway, who constantly does not lock their doors. Right now at my own condo, I have unlocked back door, unlocked front door. There is a buzz to get in. I'm on the first floor, so if anyone wants the TV, it's right there for the taking. Not a whole lot else in there that's of any value, but I have never been a security alarm person. However, I am engaged to a person who is very much a security alarm person. I was told that the minute that we get a home, the very first present that I'm supposed to get her is a security alarm. So I figured I might as well go out and get ahead of myself and actually learn about security alarms. There's no better place to start than with the founder of Scout Alarm.
Wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves.
Dave Shapiro sitting here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What got you into alarms?
Yeah, it wasn't a direct path. Had no security industry background or anything. We were my business partner and I, we were working on another web startup at the time and kind of playing around with some hardware that was becoming like open source, and manufacturing was, costs were tumbling, kind of like building a web startup. Used to cost a ton of money. Then a bunch of infrastructure services like AWS and others popped up, became really cheap. So that's kind of happening now in manufacturing. And at the time he was rehabbing his home, and we kind of saw an opportunity because by what was being offered by some of these traditional alarm companies with the hardware they were offering, you know, locking you into long-term contracts, high monthly payments. We saw like what you could do in terms of a user experience that was lacking. And so we just saw an opportunity to make a product that we would want to use.
For a person like me who has no clue what this process looks like, what does using like a competitor of yours, what does it look like? What is the, because I mean, I've heard this and I've definitely seen it. We've got a couple of, I don't want to call them dorky, but I already did, so it's too late. Dorky neighbors when I was growing up who really got into like that. We got the outdoor cam, the flashing lights, like the dashboard on the front door, and everyone's punching in their code. And I mean, I guess...
Yeah, it's intimidating. There's a lot there.
To me, it's intimidating. To some of these older men, they're just like, you know, it's all they got left, I guess. But, you know, I don't know what... Like, it sounds expensive. It looks expensive. What does it look like?
Yeah, because, I mean, at the end of the day, they're protecting, like, their business, which is, you're as a consumer shouldn't understand home security. I'm the expert. Pay me like, these high margin fees to basically do this for you and keep you in the dark. And you know, you look at these panels and to program them, it's like press and hold like three different keys together, wait three seconds. It's super complicated for the end user. And so it's built this like barrier for regular consumers to do it themselves because they feel like it's just too much of a hurdle to get over.
Well, you know, like I always looked at this, you know, when talking about houses and protection, I would always say the same thing as you would with a computer. You're only as secure as the password you choose. Totally. You're only as safe as the lock you have. Yeah. But the reality is like that thinking is actually very limited. Like the rarity is people actually like breaking in your front door. Like that's not how it goes. Like they usually set it up and come in through the side or a window or whatever. Yeah. And normally it's not trying to get you when you're at home to attack you. It's trying to get in to like steal all your stuff when you're not there. So, you know, I guess the point is it's really easy to get a person who's sort of scared to buy everything. Because it's like, well, this doesn't work, and then what about the chimney? Yeah, and like, exactly. There's, you know, you need trip wires and stuff.
There's just too many variations of things that can happen. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, all people need is, you know, they can get started with our package pretty simply by just buying what they need core, and then if they need more, they can come back and purchase additional
sensors. What does your package look like compared to the others? And then the price model difference.
For sure, it's a la carte, right? We don't think one size fits all. So when you come to our store and you're buying, you know, you're going security, we're educating you on what all the products do, how they work in a security scenario. And you just choose based on like how many windows do you have, how many doors, which ones do you want to protect, how do you want to protect them. So it's very, you know, easy to understand a la carte shopping experience. You get your package, you deliver it, and then we walk you through it on the app really simply to install. And traditionally, this has all been like very, you know, quote unquote, difficult for regular consumers to do. But with the technology that's now out there, it's just become very easy for everyday people to install it. And it's kind of breaking that myth of.
So it's like Nest, but.
Yeah.
It's a very simple setup. Yeah. And I assume you guys have or will have integration. So like when Amazon comes into your house to drop off all your groceries and like seems like 6 months from now, they'll be ready to do that.
Yeah, the access programs are interesting. There's a few of them coming out from Walmart and Amazon has their secure one that they're doing. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things happening there. You know, there's a lot of interesting integrations with voice activated assistants. So Amazon is an investor in us. And part of that,
it's we good investor. Are,
yeah, not a bad one. And part of that, we have an integration with Alexa where you can control your home security system. And then we also integrate with Google Home. So there's a lot of interesting interactions that are going on there and integrations. The secure one's interesting. There's video camera aspects to all this. And yeah, it's.
So I guess what you're saying is that for the life of my relationship, I've told her that I've told Jen that I want to have a moat. That's just all I just want to have a moat. Like it just seems easier. I don't have to lock my doors. Yeah. But what are some of the and all jokes aside, like what are the most common risks, the most common breaches of a home or whatever?
It's kind of, it varies. You know, people try windows, they tried front doors. We integrate with locks so you can always arm and
is it common? I guess is the thing. Like
what's
that's, is it common? Like I feel, I mean, I'm sure in certain neighborhoods it's obviously more prevalent than others, but like I'm sure I know people who've been broken into and they probably don't even know that they were broken into.
Sure.
But like I personally don't like know anyone. So I'm always like, you know, it just can't happen to me.
Yeah. It's one of these things that people don't like to talk about. Right. So until it happens to you, you don't know it's happening maybe in your neighborhood and it's happening more often than not. But then if it happens to you, you kind of don't want to admit it to people because it's kind of a, you know, it's a invasion of privacy. And
for sure.
You come home and everything's a mess. But yeah, it does happen pretty significantly. And, you know, it's amazing that only 20% of the U.S. housing population actually has a home security system. And 35% of that's, you know, apartment owners. And they don't even have an option because a lot of times, you know, if you're an apartment renter and you're coming in for a year, these contracts are 3 years, 5 years.
Yeah, you can't even choose to
and
do
the
it.
The landlord's like, well, I can't guarantee that the person coming in after you is going to want to pay for this so that I'm going to be on the hook for it. So with our option, you know, we do everything month to month. You don't have long-term contracts. You want to sign up for a year to get a discount? Great. But if not, you know, we do it on a monthly basis. You can stop and start anytime you want, which is nice, especially for people who move around or you have a second home as a vacation spot where you kind of want to have it monitored by yourself or professionally when you're not there. But if you're there, you maybe want to turn it off. So it gives people the flexibility, and that's really what we're all about.
I feel like the vast majority of successful startup businesses right now are those that are giving people more flexibility. Everything Forever was built. The sales models were all built to get you into this long-term contract.
Yeah.
And now you're starting to see even like T-Mobile and things like building everything away from that so you can like pick and choose as you want and they find another way to bury the money.
Absolutely. A lot of these traditional guys have actually turned into like almost financial institutions.
Yes.
Because they're taking these contracts, bundling together, selling them off as annuities, you know, and just they continue financing all the new customers that are coming in. And without a contract, you can't guarantee that anyone's going to pay.
Yeah.
And so you have to have a certain credit score. You have to have an income that supports this type of investment. Yeah.
So you are CTO, correct?
Correct.
So I feel like we can take a dive down the tech lane here a little bit.
Absolutely.
I feel like, you know, one of the things that, you know, obviously from my standpoint, all I know are sensors.
Yeah.
Like now, obviously the Nest is like a thing, but like walk me through some of the cool tech that's got you excited about the future. Cause I feel like, especially for your business, which is literally built, for the long haul, it's built for convenience of use and ease of use. And I think that the businesses that are in the security industry that are not built like that are going to be, if they're not already, are in deep, deep trouble because of all the unique, really small nanotech that is out there now to where, I mean, we could if you want to. What is that movie with, this is the worst movie ever with Sean Connery, Entrapment. In Entrapment where they've got all the lights and stuff going on. Like, we're not far off to where you could have that in your home and it's not crazy expensive.
Yeah, these systems used to be like hundreds of thousands of dollars to install and now you can go to Amazon, buy it, get shipped to your house, you install it, and they're pretty easy to do. I mean, there is some complications, but every, you know, couple of years, that barrier is getting lowered. I think some of the cool things that will come about is right now everything's very rule based when you're setting it up and with all these, you know, if this then that kind of a scenarios. I think what would be really interesting is when we get to a point where you're doing things preemptively for a consumer, maybe it's like learning their habits and being able to be like that sort of AI in the home that can anticipate what you want and do that for you, because that will be really the true smart
home. Well, that's the original Nest model. Obviously, it's a little more complicated with what you're doing, but the concept being that I set it to start, and then it starts to track what I want on a weekly basis, and then it kind of knows, you know, when I want it hot, when I want it cold, and you guys would be able to figure that out, like when do you travel, when you don't, like your home.
And they try to do that. It's an interesting thing where it
doesn't work very well yet, but just to say.
Sometimes it learns the wrong things, right? And then it's really hard to unlearn those things.
Yes.
So there's a lot of things around this machine learning and AI stuff that's still evolving, and hopefully in the next couple of years that'll be really interesting. But there's a lot of cool stuff in video analysis.
Where do you see, for you guys, like as an asset, where do you see the technology going that you're super excited about because you know that it gives you a competitive advantage given the business model you guys operate?
Yeah, I think video cameras are a big thing. Doing some of that analytical stuff I was talking about, being able to recognize people, even though in Illinois it's illegal to do.
Yeah.
For now. And hopefully that changes soon. But there's a lot of cool things you can do, you know, when someone's approaching a home and, you know, the system recognizes that it's you, be able to unlock, disarm, do a lot of cool things there. I think that, you know, on the voice side, there's a lot of really cool things. Like in my house, all my lights and fireplace and everything's hooked up to our Scout system. And basically by talking to Alexa or Google,
Alexa company here. Yeah. Not just because I use Alexa, but you are invested in by Alexa. She's a wonderful host.
Yeah. Controlling lights, like your behavior changes a lot. And it's really interesting to see that, because when you go to a hotel or something, you're like laying in bed and you don't want to get up to turn the lights off. And you say it out of pure just behavioral like memory, and then nothing happens, and you're kind of like, this is weird.
That actually happened to me when we were in San Francisco staying this like crazy, I mean, it was basically a bed and breakfast. I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah.
It looked like a funeral home, actually. We were joking, we walked in, it was like, I'm waiting to see like the Kennedys come walking out of here. But the bottom line is, like, I'm so used to using Alexa for everything in our house that, like, when I walked in, I was like, Alexa, you're not here.
Yeah.
No good. I have to imagine your house is like the craziest setup ever. Yeah, like everything is wired.
Yeah, my girlfriend likes to refer to it as like relationship security, right?
Yeah.
Like if we
there's another way that you could look at this, but yeah, I like her route. It's much. You must have a very good relationship.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's kind of a good point in itself, right? These things have become kind of difficult, haven't gotten so easy yet that anyone can do it.
Correct.
But it's getting there, and eventually it will be completely there. But
you can control from an app, so she can tell you, hey, I'm screwed, can you like unlock something? I'm stuck in the refrigerator or whatever.
Absolutely. You can set the music remotely, you can arm and disarm, lock the doors, everything without even being home. And it's an incredible sense of like control, because previously you had no idea what was going on in your home until
I would like to see a reboot of Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin as an adult. I want him in it. That third one doesn't count, with all the new tech and security, and see what he does to those dudes.
He'd be a great mascot.
Oh my god. Yeah, it would be a massacre. There's so much crazy stuff going on. Cool. Well, tell me before we head out of here, what is the big next step for you guys to take the biggest leap? I mean, you guys are obviously doing a great job now. I love the business model part. I really like, because this is one of those things where it has been controlled, kind of like cable. It's been controlled by sign up for our hardware, and then you're on the hook for the rest of it no matter what, because otherwise you lost your money.
Subsidized, yeah. For us, I think, this past summer, we went public in Australia, which is kind of a unique and interesting thing.
Good eye, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, we have the ability now to like go to capital markets and raise money and be able to grow this thing to what where we think it can go. And so a lot of over the next year, 18 months, it's going to be just heavy marketing and sales, because at this point, it's been a lot of consumer awareness, which is something that's been lacking in the DIY home security space. Yeah. A lot of people don't know it's an option. But once they do, they're really excited and interested in that over the traditional. And so, you know, there's more and more players coming out of the scene. So awareness is going to grow, and that's going to be a big thing for us.
Do you mind? I'm going to ask one last question on this one. I didn't realize you guys went public in Australia.
Yeah.
What was the thought process and choice to decide to chase after capital markets, particularly taking it overseas versus doing the traditional raise around series ABC
thing. Yeah, so we had raised about $3.5 million here in the US, and then we had done a private round with some Australian high net worth people, and the venture market here was changing, and some of the terms that we were getting were not, you know, very
Not great. What you wanted.
And so they have a very interesting model in Australia where it's very resource heavy, and they don't have a large venture scene. And so when companies want to go mine or, you know, dig for some resource, they go and start a company, yeah. a public company, and raise money that way. And then if they find something, that's great. If not, they don't. And it's actually very interesting because those companies have a even much lower rate of success, because like
it's like the opposite of equity crowdfunding then.
Yeah,
like that's what they
yeah.
essentially do. They equity crowdfund, but they start with the crowdfund, then they do the company.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm gonna go dig a hole over here, you know, I need a couple million dollars to do that. Can't guarantee anything, and a lot of these companies just go under.
And I assume the government gets something out of that. I mean, other than taxes, is there? I assume that infuses some capital moving around the economy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so, what's actually interesting? U.S. tech companies have been pretty appealing to them recently because you know there's a history there. There's a track record. You can go back and audit and say, okay, you know, this company
actually a reasonable raise.
It can make some money. And so they've gotten into the tech space a little bit more now. And that's how we found the opportunity. It was like, you know, we can take a really bad term from an investor here in the U.S., or we can go public. We have access to capital markets. Our early investors that have been with us have liquidity, which is a thing that, you know, a yeah. lot of early investors don't get for 10 years, or, it could always go to zero, too.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of positives, and we retained control of the company. And
I love it. If we or some of the founders and stuff we talked to want to chase some kangaroo bucks, can we reach out to you and learn a little bit more about that? Where do people learn more about Scout Alarm to start with?
So our website is a great place, scoutalarm.com.
Very cool.
You can buy it there, or even Amazon's got some great information about us.
I heard Amazon is one of the best venture groups and one of the best platforms for exchanging commerce on the planet.
Yeah,
we are big fans and supporters of Amazon.
A little too big, a little too powerful.
Well, that's a whole nother show. But I do think that they are, like, it's amazing, but they are going to change the way the government has to look at tech companies, because you can't. They're going to do pharmacy next. You know that. You got the insurance thing going. You got the food thing going. Delivery, distribution, shopping, production. Like, geez.
Yeah, they just mention one industry, and then that industry, every big company tumbles for the next week.
That can't be good for a capitalistic economy. Yeah. But hey,
imagine
whatever.
Their ego.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Jeff Bezos does just fine. Looks like a spy. People say he is a spy, so who the hell knows? Anyway, Dave, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it. You can catch this episode and more at technoir.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at technoir. Or, of course, follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.